That's right. Back once again, Brian Fritz on the Between the Ropes podcast. It's the third podcast of the week, so I hope you're subscribing because you never know when I'm going to put out a podcast. Maybe that's a bad thing, but when I've got interviews, when I've got content, I'm going to do the extra podcast. If you haven't checked out the ones from earlier this week, please go back and check them out. Monday, my conversation with Rory Karff, the filmmaker, director of the ESPN 30 for 30 Nature Boy. So go and listen to that. And if you haven't watched that documentary yet, go check that out. ESPN's going to be doing some replays. Also, Michael and I did the weekly podcast talking about an extremely busy week in wrestling. Plus, we review the Nature Boy doc. For people that like longer podcasts, when Michael and I get together, that one's a long one. That's the longest one we've done. We actually did 2 hours, which it might be too much. I don't know. I always tend to think that it's too much, that we go too long, but I haven't really heard too many complaints. So I hope you don't mind the longer podcasts. And the third podcast, this one right here, a couple of interviews with some Ring of Honor guys. So first, my conversation with Colt Cabana, who's, of course, now part of the broadcast team. They've got shows coming up in Florida this weekend. On Saturday, they'll be in Fort Lauderdale. Sunday, they'll be in Lakeland. Then the following week, 3 shows, 2 in Texas, 1 in Oklahoma City. That's the Survival of the Fittest tour. And I hooked up with Colt because not only did I want to talk Ring of Honor and kind of what's going on in the wrestling business right now, but also Colt's doing some great things. He's raising money for cause to help with relief in Puerto Rico following the devastation that's gone on there with the hurricane. Plus, Colt has written a children's book. So we had to talk about that. And then after that, an interview that I did with Flip Gordon, who's now with Ring of Honor and traveling the world, working for all these different independent groups. He's really getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so, as one of these great young up-and-comers, really exciting wrestler. If you're listening to that conversation, I just want to warn you, not that the audio isn't horrible or anything like that, but it sounds a little bit off at times. And that's because when we did the interview, he was actually on his cell phone backstage at a crash show in Mexico. So it could be, there's a couple of moments where it's a little bit spotty, but I promise it's not horrible. If it was that bad, I wouldn't even post it here. But a couple of great conversations with those guys. And like I said, Ring of Honor keeping very busy over the next couple of weeks. And there's a lot to talk about with both of them. So let's not wait any further. Let's get into the conversations. Going to run them back to back here. And let's start off with my talk with Colt Cabana.
It's always good to be talking to Colt Cabana, who is keeping busy as always. How many different jobs do you have right now, or how many different things do you have currently going on right now, Colt?
Oh, let's see. I am a podcaster, right? I'm an actor. I just booked a gig, which I can't talk about. I'm a commentator, and now, of course, I'm an author, a children's author. Which is very exciting. So that's the newest one I'm super excited about. But I'm always excited about, obviously, just being a pro wrestler.
So the gig that you can't talk about, what field is that in? Is that an acting gig?
Yeah. You know, I live in the city in Chicago. I have an acting agent. And sometimes you'll see me pop up on stuff. You know, I was on Marin with IFC. I was in Chicago PD. And I don't know. I was in an Old Navy commercial once carrying Mike Ditka. So, I pick up random gigs here and there.
I was going to say, have you done any like local gigs? Like, you know, we always see like players for the local team, whether like in Chicago, the Bulls or the Bears, like promoting somebody's, you know, local car shop or anything like that.
Is this a real question? I've been on the 1 hour tease billboards for 5+ years now.
Well,
you can't go anywhere in Chicago without seeing me on a billboard there.
But I meant, I know you were on that, but I meant like, have you done like, you know, Joe's Cars or anything like that? You know,
listen, 1 hour tease is Joe's Cars to me. All right. that's as local as you're going to get. 2048. West Damon Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Come on down, 1 hour Tees, who also has a storefront now, Pro Wrestling Tees. You can go into the store and buy the Pro Wrestling Tees clothes. And they're always doing. It's a cool, you know, that's as cool as it gets. I get the idea of doing Moo and Oink's, you know, butcher shop, which I grew up, you know, seeing the commercials, but this is the new generation. It's Colt Cabana with 1 hour Tees.
Yeah. And that's cool that they got the storefront for Pro Wrestling Tees as well. How often do you make your way down there?
I mean, I'm at the store you know, 2-3 times a week, 1 hour tees, just kind of doing business and doing stuff. So I'll always just pop in there when I'm there. But the store, you know, it's open only on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So, you know, that's a lot of the time that's when I'm traveling and wrestling. So, I probably won't be there Friday and Saturday, but Sunday and Monday, you might see me in the store.
I was thinking about this because obviously merchandise is such a big deal for wrestlers, for independent wrestlers, and it has become such a huge thing right now between pro wrestling tees, and we've seen other people, you know, fully take advantage of this, especially guys like the Bucks and Bullet Club and whatnot. But it feels like you were really the first, you know, entrepreneur when it came to this. And we've seen how the genesis of merchandise has gone. What's it like for how, when you got into it and what it's become now when it comes to this huge spurt in merchandise and especially in t-shirt sales?
Yeah. You know, Ryan, from 1 Hour Tees and I, we started Pro Wrestling Tees together. So that was our collaboration. So that it literally was the genesis of all of it. Because that's when you saw Kevin Owens and the Young Bucks and Joey Ryan and everybody started, and Steve Austin and Jim Ross taking advantage of the website and taking advantage of the idea that they don't have to do any work and they'll just get paid for it and they'll get to put out these awesome shirts to wrestling fans that love it. But when I was a teaching assistant along with a wrestler, and in 2003 I decided to quit my teaching assistant job and become a full-time professional wrestler. And although I was with Ring of Honor and I was getting some decent paying gigs, it wasn't enough to actually make a living. And so if I wanted to be a full-time wrestler, I knew I'd have to subsidize it with making some extra money. And that's when I really became this kind of full-time, you know, quote unquote hustler, at the merchandise stand and merchandising myself, and made it a big part of my business because I wanted to just be a wrestler. I didn't want to just be a teaching assistant. So in 2003, 2004, I was doing anything and everything, including, you know, doing shows in Tijuana, Mexico, buying $500 worth of masks and bringing them home and selling them on independent shows throughout the Midwest, just so I could make a living. And when I, you know, in those early 2000s, it was just me at the merch table. It literally was just me and maybe the owner's wife was there also, and maybe another wrestler, maybe a guy like Chris Hero or something. And now if you go to these independent shows, it's 25, 30 wrestlers outside, you know, outside trying to hawk their wares. And so I've really seen the wave of merchandise at independent wrestling completely shift. And I think I'm a little bit responsible for it in terms of, you know, with starting Pro Wrestling Tees and showing people the success that just a t-shirt can make if you want to support your wrestler. And so many people were supporting that, all of a sudden a lot of wrestlers realized that this was such an important part of the game. So I'm happy to be part of that shift, and it's really cool to see how far it's come.
So when you go to these shows and everybody is out there and they want their space at the merchandise tables, because you are Colt Cabana and because you are the guy that can I help get the ball rolling on all of this? Do you get preferential treatment when it comes to your space and your table?
I'd like to think so, Ryan. And there's a little bit of me of like, I expect that should happen. But sometimes wrestlers don't even know who I am. You know, it's just, they're so new to wrestling. Yeah. I mean, or they just know my name. Like, they don't even understand that this is the stuff, kind of some of the stuff that I helped pave the way for. So they just throw out their stuff, and there's a whole etiquette too. You know how you hear about like Enzo Amore getting thrown out of the locker room? You know, there's a locker room etiquette. There's also merchandise table etiquette that a lot of people don't know and don't understand. And so, you know, I just try to make sure I find somewhere to put out my stuff. But you know, I'd hope that people would be willing to kind of make some room for me if they haven't already.
You don't have to name names, but when's the last time you went to a show and somebody didn't know who you were when it came to one of the other wrestlers?
I'll name a name.
Okay.
ZZ from Tough Enough. I was on a show with him. He didn't know who I was, which is fine. You know, I'm not expecting him to, but like, you know, I'll go up and shake everyone's hands. And then, you know, he started asking me questions where I was like, oh, he doesn't know who I am. This is pretty funny. But yeah.
For whatever reason, I actually know ZZ a little bit because being here in Orlando and doing Tough Enough here, I went to one of their NXT shows and they had the whole crew out in the crowd, and I ended up sitting next to him. And somehow we got to talking. I told him what I did, and next thing you know, like, he's taking a selfie and putting it out there on Twitter. And I went to some of those live shows that they did, the TV tapings. Like, he'd see me in the crowd while he's standing up on stage. He's like, "Hey, man, what's up?" And I was just like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. No, he's a nice. You know, like, I was obsessed with pro wrestling, so when I got into it, I knew who everyone was.
Right.
You know, he came from like a reality crocodile show or whatever, and. might not know the whole background of everybody in the wrestling, but he was a nice guy, and he's pretty, to be fair, he was in New Orleans helping set up the ring with Luke Hawk's promotion over there. We did this like secret Lucha Vavoom show in New Orleans. So it wasn't Luke Hawk's actual promotion, but he had the ring rental, and he came early and he put up the ring, and he was acting just like a student, like everybody else. So it's not like he obviously didn't let, he didn't have any kind of ego that I saw. But it's kind of fun because everyone kind of knows who he is because he's just a very eccentric character on that Tough Enough show.
Yeah, and that's how he really is. Yeah, he's a good dude. He means well. Yeah. He's a really nice guy. It's just he's aloof, shall we say. The guy is basically, a reality TV specialist. I mean, he's done like three of them at least now, four.
What a job title.
I know. Reality TV specialist. He's a ringer. So for Ring of Honor, obviously, you've got the shows coming
speaking
up.
Speaking of Ringer.
Yeah, speaking of Ringer, you've got
Ringer of Honor.
That's the new name for it now. I did your spin on it. I'm sure you're going to start using that when you're announcing the shows at the end, right?
There you go. I'll credit you.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll appreciate that. So you've got the shows coming up in Florida this weekend. You're in Fort Lauderdale, and then you're going to be in Lakeland. And speaking of Ian, you guys are going to be doing something special for those shows. You guys are going to be helping raise money for the United for Puerto Rico, which helps all the donations go to support the relief efforts for Puerto Rico. So explain exactly what you're going to be doing at the shows.
Yeah, it's just come early, and Ian and I will have the headsets on, and you can come to the announce booth, and we'll take a picture, and we'll both sign an autograph. And, that experience is $20, but it's a $20 donation towards United for Puerto Rico and the people of Puerto Rico. So it's $20 totally going to help get some relief to the people of Puerto Rico. And I think they're saying like 70% of the island is still kind of screwed up. And there's so much work that still needs to be done. And if there's any, it's so little for me to take a picture with somebody and sign an autograph. And if it makes somebody's day, and then all of a sudden now we can make a whole island's, day or make some kind of assistance. And so I'm really happy that we're doing it. Ian really, he grabbed the ball and ran with it, and he kind of plugged in the right people and started this all going. And, he was like, "Is this something you want to do?" And I was like, "Of course." So this is just me, just trying to help the world a little bit through Ian's coordination and the help of everybody, including Ring of Honor and all the media outlets that are helping us spread the word a little too.
Yeah. And it's for a great cause, and it's so awesome you guys are doing that. And hopefully you guys raise a lot of money. The thing that I find these days now too, is when it comes to different causes, relief efforts, different things like this, there are people that are in need that I see a lot more wrestlers doing it. And I think it's amazing from the standpoint that I wonder if some people don't realize like the name recognition they have, or kind of like the impact that they have when it comes to not only people's lives just for being a fan, but for what they can do when it comes to good causes and helping people out and raise money. Have you come to realize a little bit more as you've done these?
Yeah. But I also realized that, right. Like writing, like not that I do my own charity, of course, but the idea that I have something that's worth something that isn't, that I'm not taking, that's just writing my name down or taking a picture, that has value. So like you're saying, like, that we're names or we're recognizable. So let's use that and then put that instead of to eBay or whatever, let's put that towards the people of Puerto Rico. And I think that's the cool thing, is that all it will take for is a picture and an autograph. And we can start raising money. So and I think it's great. Yeah, it's hard as independent wrestlers, too, to do this kind of stuff because, if you're just trying to be an independent wrestler, it's very hard to make a living. It's not easy. And then to be able to, to say to take away, to take away from some kind of income that you'll make in order to give it. But that's what charity is all about. And that's like sacrifices that you make. And I'm proud to, and I think a lot of the other wrestlers are too. You know, Donovan Dijak was another example of someone who was always giving and always working for different causes. Pro Wrestling Crate, you know, every month we, Pro Wrestling Crate's ran by Pro Wrestling Tees. You know, we give to a different cause every month, including, you know, Sami Zayn's Syria cause we gave to. And there's a cause in Washington who's trying to deregulate wrestling so that there could be more pro wrestling out there. So there's a lot of great causes out there, and there's a lot of great people helping. So, you know, I'm glad to be part of that team.
We mentioned Ian, and he got the ball rolling on this project. You've been working with him for a little while now in the on the broadcast booth for Ring of Honor shows. What's the experience been like working with him?
He's great. You know, he's a lot of, I know he's young, and he's got to follow Kevin Kelly, which is a hard thing to do. Kevin's been doing this since the Eddie Mansfield days, right? So, but he's got a great, you know, almost like a great pedigree for it. He, you know, with being on, doing the Philadelphia work out there in the Allentown, local stuff, and loving wrestling. I think that's the most important thing is you could tell his passion for wrestling, his love for wrestling. He's not just this guy, you know, he's not just Mike Hogwood coming in here who was hired by, you know, HDTV or whatever, HDNet, you know, back in the day. I mean, this is a guy who loves wrestling and looks the part, you know, acts the part, sounds the part. And so I'm excited. You know, we've been doing it a short while, but a good amount of shows together. And I'm excited to see, you know, where this relationship and partnership can be in 2, 5, 10 years.
I love that you brought up Eddie Mansfield. Because he's still down here in this neck of the woods. He still has his man perm.
Okay. How's it looking?
It's not as thick as it once was, but you know, he's trying. Oh. So I got to give him credit for that.
Give him a pat on the head for me next time you see him.
I'm sure Eddie would appreciate that, especially coming from me. I think Eddie is still mad at me for when they did the, was it the XFW shows down here that they did a couple tapings for?
Well, you're probably talking about the XWF, which yes. My trainer was involved in.
Yes.
And, you know, I was probably a year in the business, if not less, when my trainer, Danny Dominion, was part of those tapings.
Wow. Yeah, the XWF tapings. Yeah, I went to that, and, he got mad at me about some stuff, and, some information had come my way that I thought I was told to make public, and I found out later I was not supposed to make public. And there was word that if you saw me at the show, he was going to literally kill me. And
whoa,
I'm still walking this day. I was there. He could have found me. But, you know, I don't know what happened. I took the death threat somewhat serious, I guess. But, you know, it's wrestling.
I'm glad you're alive.
Thanks. I'm glad that Eddie still has his man perm. So when it comes to the broadcasting part of this, obviously you've been making this transition for a little while, and you're still extremely active when it comes to wrestling. What kind of approach or what do you do in preparation, even mentally, when it comes to getting ready for a broadcast, and compare that to what you do mentally for when you're going to have a match?
Well, I guess on both, I make sure to keep myself loose, and it's a good question in terms of comparing going out there for broadcast and wrestling. Because when I'm wrestling and I'm too, you know, restricted or tight and I'm too worried about what's going to happen, I don't allow my real character to really come out and the true fun of pro wrestling. And so I try to keep that in mind too when I'm about to go out with Ian, is just don't be so regimented. Don't really worry about making sure you get all the information and facts out. Like, that will come. You know, what I worry about is making sure I just have fun out there and I keep it loose and I be myself. And, you know, I like to think that I've been kind of a voice for at least independent wrestling since 2010. And I put on my podcast that I've been this voice for a lot of wrestling fans over the years. And so I think it's kind of cool that it's just now transitioning to television, where I can kind of be the voice for wrestling fans again, but this time with the Ring of Honor product. And so that's kind of the mentality I keep in my head when going out there.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing too, when it comes to you as a broadcaster, because you have all this experience now of talking to different guys, of doing the podcast and getting to know these guys and kind of getting to know what you want to say on the broadcast from a standpoint of making everybody look as good as possible and understanding where all the wrestlers are coming from and the characters, the gimmicks and everything even that you want to add to the show, that it adds like an extra layer when it comes to what you should be doing, you know, as the color commentator.
Yeah, that's the name of the game, is trying to get these guys over, trying to get the audience to be able to connect with the wrestlers. And like I said, that's something I've been doing with my podcast for years now. So, you know, it's a new thing, just doing it on television, trying to get the audience to connect with the wrestlers.
Is there ever a time when you're, you know, doing the broadcast for a show and you get the itch to want to be in the ring?
You know, luckily I'm wrestling so much, and, you know, I'm going to Japan for DDT Christmas time, and you know, tomorrow I'm leaving for bar wrestling in LA and then going to San Francisco and I'm wrestling at the Cow Palace. So it doesn't really do my head in. The only time it does my head in a little bit is some of the really, really bigger shows. Like, you know, last year in Florida, there's like 3,500 people. I was, there's a little bit of me like, oh man, I could entertain these people so well. But you know, I do realize that Carino left, Nigel left, there wasn't really anyone to be in the commentary booth, and you know, I can also help spread the word vocally as well too. So, you know, I just understand, I guess, my part in it right now, and I'm happy to play that part.
I'm glad that you get to go work at the Cow Palace. What's that place like these days?
I don't know. It's going to be my, you know, they did a show before, but I wasn't able to go. I was on an international tour, so I think this is the second time they're running the Cow Palace, APW is. And I'll keep you informed. I'll tell you this weekend.
You get to chalk that up to another one of your unique experiences. I like that.
Yeah, I've wrestled at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and now I'm going to wrestle at the Cow Palace.
That's awesome. what's been the worst venue you've ever wrestled at?
The worst venue?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, God, I don't know. I've wrestled in some barns before. Oh, you know, I wrestled, like, when we wrestled in India, I did a 4-day tour of India at this, like, dirt patch. It was just this dirt patch in India that they put up a 24 by 24 cement boxing ring. And it was just kind of in the middle of Guwahati, India. Like, they don't really have buildings there or anything. It was just outside in the middle of India. It was very odd. But, you know, all these, I don't look at bad places because, to me, you know, I wouldn't be able to have that story and tell you that story. So I always look at it. For me, I look at it as fun, or yeah, at least funny. And I try to live in the moment and realize how weird it is.
Well, you got to make the best of the experience no matter what. So why not have a good time? But you,
of course.
So you said, what was it? A 24 by 24 cement boxing ring?
Yeah. I mean, it was just, there was no give to the ring. You know, they made this ring specifically for this tour and really didn't know what a wrestling ring was. So they just assumed it was a square with some ropes and a ground, you know, and so, and a raised ground. So it was an interesting 4 nights of wrestling.
Is that one of
a
those?
Lot of ro-
yeah. I was going to say, is that one of those where you only take like 3 bumps per match and there's a lot of rolling?
I was going to say a lot of rolling. Yes. There's a lot of rolling going on.
All of a sudden everybody becomes experts in lucha libre.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Like, you know, if anyone, like, I mean, there were no wrestling experts there, but like, if you watched, you'd really appreciate, you know, it was me, Trent Beretta, Sanjay Dutt, and Kevin Matthews. And you'd appreciate like how we could still make these amazing, fun wrestling matches for these people, but really change what we do. And you, if you were able to see how we changed our style and yet keep it so fun and entertaining, I think it's a credit to all 4 of us as wrestlers. And that's stuff that, you know, no one will ever really see, but it's super interesting that it happened.
You know, because now, because you have so many experiences and you've been wrestling for close to 20 years, do you ever get surprised by anything that happens in wrestling? Because like just this past week, I know I was surprised. I think a lot of other people were too, with the announcement that Chris Jericho is going to be, you know, doing the show in New Japan in January against Kenny Omega. Do you get surprised by anything that happens in wrestling anymore?
Well, I've known about that Jericho thing for a couple of months now. So
there you go. Well, you should. That's from your standpoint of in the business, and you know those guys, you know, better. And I'm on, you know, my side. So, I mean, I thought that they were going to have a match. I just didn't know if it was going to be on the cruise ship or, you know, when it might. You know, who the hell knows when that was going to happen?
Yeah. Oh, well, I did, Brian.
Well, you did because you're super insider Colt Cabana. That's why.
I can't say no. Like, of course, my brain's a little jaded from being around for so long. But sure, if something happens that I didn't think was going to happen, I'll get surprised by it. And I'll start texting some friends and being like, hey, tell me the story on this one. I was surprised by Leo Rush's tweet. You know, that surprised me. I didn't think that was a thing he should do. And he did it. And, you know, and so then I kind of want to be like, hey, what's this guy thinking, you know?
So you say you were jaded? You're jaded by the wrestling business?
I mean, I'm just, what would be the right word? Maybe not jaded, but like, I don't know. I'm calloused by it, you know?
It's sure. Like, you toughened up.
Yeah. I mean, I've just seen a lot of stuff, so it's not crazy to me as it maybe would be for someone a little newer.
For anybody else, for you, it's just like, yep, this is the wrestling business. Like, you know, different things happen, especially nowadays. I mean, We see things happening that we didn't think would happen. If you go back even just a couple of years ago, you look at the landscape of wrestling right now, has there ever been a more fun time to be involved in wrestling that you can think of immediately, especially for independent wrestling or just wrestling around the world?
Oh, I'd say the Attitude Era was probably fun. I mean, I hear the stories from those guys. Val Venus saying he bought a new computer every single week, basically. Like, that sounds like a lot of fun.
But you had to be in WWE specifically for that.
Right. Or WCW. They were throwing around some money there, too.
Yeah, they were.
It seemed like people were just doing, it was kind of like a weird outlaw. Like, people were just doing whatever they wanted to do. I am having fun. You know, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to say that because I've just kind of had fun my whole career, just for different reasons. So, you know, it is fun now, and it was fun 5 years ago, and it was fun 10 years ago. So, for me, the whole thing is just kind of a good time, to be honest.
I would have loved to have seen the fun you could have had in WCW at that time. There's so much leeway and so much money being thrown around.
Right. Just me and Mike Enos just doing whatever we wanted to.
You, Mike Enos, Disco Inferno.
Yeah.
I mean, Disco wanted to wrestle an invisible guy, so I can only imagine what you might have thought of.
Yeah. I could have been that invisible guy.
You could have been. So with Ring of Honor 2, obviously you guys have, after the Florida loop coming up here, you're going to be doing the Survival of the Fittest shows with two shows in Texas and Oklahoma City. What do you make of all the attention that's getting to now your show in San Antonio? NXT is going to be running in San Antonio that same night. It doesn't feel like a coincidence. What do you make of everything that's going on there?
No, I don't even think about it. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing, to be honest, until someone brought it up. Until I was like, why is Ring of Honor bringing in the guy from that TV show? And then they're like, oh, because we're running up against NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't even want to be part of that, whatever it is that's happening. So, you know, we can say that it's not a coincidence. Maybe it was a coincidence. You know, I don't really, no one really knows for sure unless you're, you know, probably Triple H telling the promoter, you know, telling the bookers of the venues to book that against them. So, I don't really make that kind of drama part of my life, at least that the idea of that happening. So, it's kind of cool. You know, like I said, I'm an independent wrestler. I'm an independent thinker. I kind of just stay on my own path. I got all, you know, like you said in the beginning, it's just like, I'm wrestling, I'm podcasting. I'm trying to push this new book that's coming out, my children's book that's available now. And so like, these are the things that I'm kind of worried about at the moment. And it's not like, I don't think, I think Ring of Honor is here to stay. Like, you know, with Joe Koff and the company behind us, and we're on television and the television markets are strong and we're only growing. And that stuff really doesn't worry me. So there's nothing like there's nothing better than a little good, healthy competition.
So let's talk about the wrestling book that you did. So you wrote a children's book called Wrestling Dreams. It ships on November 13th. Where did the idea come about for doing this book?
Yeah, my best friend Sam is a dentist in Libertyville, Illinois. His wife is a children's book author and illustrator, and we collaborated together. And you know, like I said, there was a time where nobody was at the merch table, and there was a time where everybody was at the merch table with their T-shirts. And maybe, you know, wrestling fans, maybe they have enough T-shirts. So, you know, something that we thought was really cool was the idea of this wrestling book for children. And the idea that if you're a grown adult coming to a wrestling show, or maybe a fan of my podcast, or maybe, you know, a fan of your podcast and hear about it, you see this wrestling book and you say, oh my God, I have a child, or I have a nephew, or I have a young brother or sister. And I think this is so great that it's a way to share your wrestling love with a younger generation. So the idea of reading this book with a child, or giving this book to a child for this child to read, and through that sharing a love of wrestling. And hopefully if you're obsessed with wrestling, like I am, it's a great way to hook a child, into the wrestling world. Like, so they can be your wrestling friend for the rest of your lives.
So what did your mom think when she saw the book? Because she's featured in it.
Well, the character of my mom.
Sure.
Right. The idea of my mom is featured in it. She loved it. She, you know, a lot of memories were brought back for her, too, of me jumping on my mattresses and wrestling the pillows and making everything into a wrestling scenario. And, you know, she did say, you know, at least you're not jumping off the roof in this book like I was in high school. So, you know, just like Mick Foley was trying to, you know, imitate my heroes. So I think it's a very child safe book. And she was thrilled to kind of be a part of it.
Right. Everybody can get it at, was it ColtMerch.com is where you can get Wrestling Dreams?
Yeah. So it's available at ColtMerch.com. And if you buy it there, I will autograph it and also make a video for the child of your choice. That sounds weird, I know, but I have to say it. But it's also available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever you get books. It's through Trism Books, which is an independent book publisher. And so it is a real deal. It's not like a thing I made in my apartment here. I mean, it's a real book, and it's at bookstores everywhere. But, you know, I'm trying to push people to buy it through the website so they can autograph it and get a video.
Do you think this is going to start a collection of you doing children's books?
Oh, that'd be fun. I thought you were going to say, do you think it's going to start every indie wrestler doing a children's book?
No.
Which might be the case. I guess if this is a success, I'd love to. I haven't even thought about that, but that'd be wonderful if it kind of spawns the whole thing of Wrestling Dreams 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just like the Wrestling Road Diaries.
Right. And there's plenty of stories to tell that you can incorporate in there. And I read the book earlier, and it'd be great for kids. The artwork is fantastic in there as well. I love the way that everything kind of came together. The book looks great.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Yeah, Erica, she drew the book, and she's very talented. And I know through Pro Wrestling Tees, you can actually get, with the book, you can get a T-shirt for an extra $5 of the illustrations of the book. Maybe if you want to get the kid a shirt or something.
That's fantastic.
But thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So everybody can go check out your website. Go to ColtMerch.com. They can get the book. Plus, if you go down and see Colt and Ian at the shows in Florida coming up here on Friday and Saturday, Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday is in Fort Lauderdale. Sunday is in Lakeland, and you can help for the United for Puerto Rico cause. And obviously that'll be on Twitter as well, where people can, if you can't make it to the shows, you can still contribute to that. But for people that do go to those shows, you get a nice picture with Colt and with Ian, and you can help that cause. And everybody can follow you also on Colt Cabana on Twitter, and check out your podcast at The Art of Wrestling. Anything else that I need to plug here?
Oh, well, if you're in Chicago, Marty DeRosa and I do a comedy show every year the night before Thanksgiving. So it's Wednesday, November 22nd. It's at the North Bar, 8 o'clock. It's only $10 to get in. And we do a show where we do comedy and commentary to bad wrestling matches. It's a really fun show. I recommend you come out if you're in the city, or if you know somebody in the city, or if you don't live in the city, but you're visiting your parents and need to get away, or family.
I would highly encourage that. In fact, I went to the show that they do up in Brooklyn, and Dolph Ziggler was there around SummerSlam.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Who's they?
What is the name of the group? They do a show like once every couple of months there. It's I have to find it. It's like a
UCBW, maybe?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah. I've done that before.
Yeah. Yeah, because they had a midnight show like the night before SummerSlam. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go check that out.
Very nice.
They do a really good job. Maybe not as good of a job as you, of course, in commentary, but we'll just suck up while we have it. So, hey, thanks.
Give me something, you know, Brian.
Yeah, I try. By the way, how's the city of Chicago doing right now, recovering from the Cubs not winning the World Series this year?
You know, I think we're still on such a high from winning last year that it wasn't that big of a blow. Like, you know, we couldn't believe it happened last year. So,
yeah,
I think we're just happy the idea that we're like in some kind of race. It was nice for us.
I get mad at the people that say, this year was a failure for the Cubs. I'm like, they made it to the National League Championship Series, dude. They were a couple wins away from getting back to the World Series. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was such a rough start.
Yeah.
That even happened.
Well, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it. And keep up fantastic work. And look forward to hearing you on the call for the Ring of Honor shows coming up here and seeing you at all the different wrestling shows and the podcast and whatnot.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
He is Flip Gordon. Of course, Ring of Honor is coming here to the Sunshine State this coming weekend, Fort Lauderdale on Saturday, Sunday in Lakeland. Then the Survival of the Fittest shows following that. With a loop in Texas and Oklahoma City. Thanks for the time, man. And I appreciate you doing this, especially because you are south of the border right now.
I am.
So how is the tour going right now?
It's awesome. I love it. Right now I'm on day 4 of my 6 days with the crash. They're doing 7 days in a row. I'm doing 6 of those days in a row before I fly back home for... I'll be home for about 6.5 hours before I fly to Florida for this amazing weekend down in the nice warm weather.
So when you get 6.5 hours before you have to start traveling again, do you use that to sleep, to do laundry, to do bills? What are you doing during that time window that you have?
I don't know. It differs from time to time. I enjoy being away from home. So I don't mind... like the long travels and then going home for just a little bit and then getting back on the road because I enjoy being gone. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy seeing different cities, different fans. But for some people, it is hard. So.
Well, you've only been in wrestling now you're going on 3 years. So what has it been about the wrestling lifestyle that you like so far? And has it been difficult to get used to?
It's just the entertainment. The constant, like, you never know what's going to happen. Anything's possible. Ever since I was a kid, I've always been in love with being on stage. And it was funny, I was actually thinking about it yesterday when we were in Laredo, Mexico. I was walking by the stage, and I was like, man, I remember being a kid walking by stage and being like, man, I want to be on stage. And it's so cool to be able to go out there now and be on stage almost every single night. So it's a cool feeling. And I definitely feel like I've accomplished something awesome.
What attracted you to that? That you always wanted to be involved in entertainment and you always wanted to be the center of attention?
I don't know. It was always there from a very young kid. I always wanted to be the center of attention. I think it was because my grandparents always would buy my brother the coolest, newest thing. I always thought they loved him more. So I always tried to like be the center of attention to get their attention. And I think it just evolved from there. But as soon as I found professional wrestling, I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
What was it about pro wrestling in particular that hooked you? Because I think for so many people that get into the business, they start following at a young age, and then they kind of know at a young age that they say, hey, this is what I want to do, and this is my path in life.
I think it was just everything about professional wrestling. It's entertainment. You're on a stage, it's live, it's a sport, you know, like I was so drawn to the athleticism about it, and that's what made me want to do it more than anything.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing too, when people watch you, because obviously the nickname Flip Gordon,
you know, that is a big part of your repertoire is doing the flips. When was it that you started falling in love with doing flips and flying and all the gymnastics and whatnot?
See, I loved Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Super Crazy, Paul London. I loved all the luchadors. And that's one of the reasons why I love coming to Mexico so much. It's because there's so much tradition. And I still get to see, like, so much of that lucha style that's not incorporated as much into the American professional wrestling scene. Whereas when you come down here, you see so much, like, different styles. Even the fans, they react to different things. And so to be able to learn which fans react to which stuff, it's really cool. And it's like one of those things of the entertainment business that it's very hard to learn. It's how to control and know how an audience is going to react before they even know.
I like that you mentioned Super Crazy in that mix, because he seems to be a guy that many people overlook when you talk about that style and whatnot. Was there something in particular about Super Crazy that really stood out to you?
Just that it was a guy that wasn't in the best shape, but he had so much body control and he could do things that you've never seen before. And he just made you believe that there was, that gravity didn't limit him. And it was just one of the coolest things.
You've been in wrestling, like I said, for about 3 years now. And you quickly got the, you know, a deal with Ring of Honor. You've already been touring, you know, down in Mexico. You've been going all over the UK. What's it been like to have this much success so quickly into your career?
It's kind of surreal because I went from a kid being told that it would never happen to it just like kind of happening like really, really fast. And it was so unexpected. I remember like 3 months into training, I couldn't wait for my first match. And now that was 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Almost 3 years ago. It'd be 3 years in May. And to think that I'd come this far, just 3 years from a guy that was, hey, I'm going to do this, to a, hey, look, I'm doing this, to, hey, look, I'm doing this, like, really well, is kind of cool, because I'm very new, and I'm still learning, and they could pick anybody, and so for them to want me to come to this country and go to the UK, it's a huge blessing, and I'm very thankful for all the opportunities I've been given, and I just want to keep getting better so I can keep getting more opportunities. It really just motivates me, because it's like, if I can do this much in this many years, what can I do in another, like, 2 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really motivating me.
Are you one of these guys that starts laying out goals ahead of time? Like, do you have a goal for what you want to accomplish within the next year or even, like, the next 5 years? Do you do that kind of thing?
Yeah, 100%. My next goal is before my three-year marker, so before May, I'd love to go to New Japan. And that's like a huge goal I set for myself. And I'm excited because in Chicago, obviously it was Ring of Honor, New Japan pay-per-view. And being there with Will Ospreay, who was one of the best high flyers in the world, one of the best guys in New Japan, I think I definitely got my name into their minds. Okay, now we know who Brooke Gordon is, because that was the best match I had yet. And so it made a lot of waves in the Ring of Honor and the Japan locker room. So I'm open.
You know, people talk about that Will Ospreay match that you had, and that's one that really stands out. But when it comes to all the different things that you guys are doing in the ring and just how detailed it is and the timing that goes in everything, how do you remember everything that goes into a match like that? I'm not saying that every last detail necessarily is scripted, but at the same time, there's a lot that's going on, and I watch that, and I can't wrap my head around it.
When you're in there, guy, with Will, it just, like, me and him just flowed so well, and our chemistry was just so natural that we really didn't have to think. It just happened. Which is one of the coolest things, because there was never in a moment where I was in there where I was thinking. I was just reacting. I was listening to the crowd, and I was just having, I honestly, it was one of the funnest matches I've had too. Because I remember times where, like when I hit that big dive, and just, I just remember hearing the crowd, I'm like, yo, this is the coolest feeling ever.
So when it comes
and
to...
And then we got that reaction 2 or 3 more times. It was surreal.
So. Yeah. When it comes to the goal of getting to New Japan, have you already talked to anybody over there, or is it just something that you'll talk to them a little bit more once it gets closer?
I haven't talked to anybody over there yet, actually. That's just a goal I set for myself. Being with Ring of Honor and obviously their partnership with New Japan, I'm hoping that if I just keep working hard and going out there and giving my best, hopefully I'll be given an opportunity over there in New Japan.
Well, you know, the best of the Super Junior seems like a pretty nice place for possibly Flip Gordon to make his debut in New Japan.
That'd be a dream come true, and you never know what the future holds. So.
Yeah. It's, you know, you look at this relationship with New Japan, and there's, I guess there's mixed feelings for some people, because obviously I think it's great that so many different guys like yourself get an opportunity to go and work in Japan. Plus there's an opportunity for so many fans here in the U.S. to be able to see New Japan stars front and center. But what's your thoughts about that relationship right now? Because there is some thinking that people to say, okay, is New Japan or is Ring of Honor not taking advantage of that relationship enough, or are they giving away too much for the New Japan stars when they come to the U.S.?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, it seems like it's a good partnership, and I feel like everybody's getting a fair amount of opportunities. I mean, I was 4 months in with Ring of Honor, and they sent me to CMLL. And Kojima was down there from New Japan. And you have guys like Dragon Lee over in New Japan now from CMLL, as well as like the Young Bucks. So I feel like they're doing a really good job at like doing that talent swap of, hey, if we can have some of your guys, then we have some of your guys. And I think it's helping out amazingly for exposure for especially young wrestlers like myself to be able to go down to Mexico or go to New Japan, and because that's just a whole different fan base.
Yeah, and that's the thing right now, because I think when it comes to somebody like yourself, especially with your style and with the way that the independent wrestling scene is right now, not just in the United States, but all around the world, now seems like the perfect time for somebody like yourself to get into wrestling. Does it feel that way for you now that you've been in it for a few years?
Oh, 100%. I've told many people that I came into this at the exact right time. There's been no better time to be in professional wrestling than right now. Like Cody Rhodes said, we're in a boot. Like, wrestling's cool again. Like, it almost feels like the 90s, or, you know, where everybody, like, it's the cool thing again. And so I came in the right time, the right style, the right era. And if I would have came in sooner, I wouldn't have been where I am now as fast, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't, probably wouldn't have been given the same opportunities at that time. But when you have so many guys leaving and going to other companies, it opens up top spots, and those spots have to be filled. You can either go out and just get by, you can go out and try to fill the show, and that's my goal every time, because I want to be a top guy. I'm not just trying to be another wrestler. I want to be a great wrestler.
So explain to me how the Bullet Club and the Harmful Ribs came along. What was the genesis of that?
That actually happened. It started in Mexico, and the Bucks just came up to me and they're like, hey, congrats on signing the Ring of Honor. And this is even before it was announced. And that's like, it do a little video with them. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into at all. And sure enough, that's how the Harmful Ribs started. And it kind of just blew up. The fans were liking to it. Everybody was asking who the F is Flip Gordon. And it just kind of took off from there. And next thing you know, the Bucks like to beat me up every single, almost every week now. So, but it's an amazing exposure, and I'm very thankful because of the show. It's helped me not only show more personality and who I am and what I can do, but it's also gotten my name out there to hundreds of thousands of people that might not have known who Flip Gordon was before.
So. Yeah. And I can only imagine what it's like to think about different ways that you could get beat up by the Bucks or by Cody or by Marty Scurll each and every week.
Oh, trust me, I'm pretty sure they have no problem thinking of ideas. Those two are some of the most creative people ever.
It's incredible to see the stuff that they have been able to do, and just the way that wrestling has changed when it comes to, you know, marketing. And that's something, you know, obviously the Bucks have taken advantage of. Cody is now taking advantage of. We've seen it obviously with Bullet Club and all of those guys. What have you learned from being around them, especially not only improving in the ring and in things like that, but when it comes to the other aspects of being an independent wrestler and marketing yourself?
The thing that I've learned from them is just you got to take chances. You got to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, these guys got a season to sit, and the next day had a the same day had a shirt out, and it sold like crazy. These guys are honestly, they just want to have fun. They want to go out there and have fun. And when you're in a locker room with guys that just want to go out there, have fun, and put on the best match possible, it's always a good vibe, and it always motivates you. So they definitely motivate me. And it's one of the cool things, like the ROH locker room is pretty awesome. So I can definitely say that.
When we talk about, you know, like how cool wrestling is right now, one of the biggest things that happened news-wise over this past week was the big announcement that Chris Jericho is actually going to New Japan to take on Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom. What was your reaction when you first heard about that?
That's insane. If you'd have told me that was going to happen, I wouldn't have believed you. The fact that they kept it such a secret until that point is absolutely amazing, because it's really hard to keep something a secret in professional wrestling these days. So for them to be able to pull that off is just stunning. And props to them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I couldn't believe that they were able to do it either. So let's talk a little bit about Ring of Honor, obviously, because you know, you signed there earlier this year. You got the shows coming up here in Florida this weekend, and then you're going to Texas and Oklahoma City. What's that experience been like? I mean, was that the place that you had always kind of targeted, say, this is where I want to be very early in my career, and you got that opportunity?
I actually didn't know where I wanted to go at first. But after I started wrestling and I started learning more about the indies and I started watching more wrestling, when it eventually came down to who I wanted to be with, I knew that Ring of Honor was the right choice. And so for them to give me the opportunity they had is absolutely amazing. Like I said before, they sent me to CMLL this weekend. We're coming to Florida. They're giving me a platform to showcase my abilities that's bigger than anything else out there on the indies right now. So it's really cool to be able to go out there. Not only that, I get to wrestle with some of the best wrestlers in the world, former world champions, future world champions. So to be able to go out there and just learn from all these guys is really cool.
So who are some of the favorite guys you've been in the ring with so far, whether it's been with Ring of Honor or elsewhere? Because, you know, you talked about Will Ospreay, and you've been in there with you've been in the ring at the same time with Rey Mysterio. I mean, you've been in there with some big names already very early in your career.
I've had a lot of Will Ospreay is one of my favorite guys. Obviously, we've only done it once, but it was, like I said, one of the funnest times. I love getting in there with the Young Bucks. I feel like we just have really good chemistry. Kazarian, we're get in the ring with him any day of the week. He's absolutely one of the best. Cody Rhodes is another one. I got a chance to wrestle him for Northeast Wrestling. And it was like my first main event at the time, and I was like super nervous. But I think now that I got a little bit more time under my belt, I think I'll be able to go in and have a better match with him than I did last time. So,
well, considering that, and Cody is obviously not an old man, but you're now 25, so I can only imagine you probably grew up watching Cody when he was in WWE, right?
I actually did. But don't tell him that, because then he'll just give me a harmful rib.
Why not, man?
I grew up watching him on WWE television. And I remember when he first left, and I remember he was on one of the first shows he was on Indies was a Northeast Wrestling show. And to see him go out there and just see the love he had for professional wrestling after leaving the biggest company in the world, like, gave me so much faith in the world. Like, okay, the guy is going to leave there come to the Indies and just have so much fun, and you can just tell that he's, what he's doing. That can happen, like anything can happen. So it was really cool. And he's not one of those guys that's just coming to like make money. Like, he's coming to prove something. He wants every show that he's on, he wants to go out there and be the absolute best.
Do you think that the next time that you get in the ring with Cody, you could come to the ring wearing a dashing Cody Rhodes t-shirt?
Ooh, I don't know if I want that kind of drama.
Come on, man, that'd be great.
The young bucks might show up out of nowhere, and then it'll be a super kick party.
Oh, but you know what? You'll be entertaining the fans, and you're an entertainer at heart.
That's true. I don't know. I mean, I have two matches with him coming up here soon that are triple threat, so I might just have to do that.
There you go. So, you know, I think one of the things I've gotten fans talking a lot too, and obviously Bullet Club and Bucks and Cody are playing into this a lot, but it is kind of interesting whether it's a coincidence or not. So Ring of Honor is obviously going to be doing the shows coming up here, and, you know, not this week, but the following week. And you got a show in San Antonio, and then, like, out of the blue a few weeks ago, NXT added an event to their calendar, and lo and behold, it was in San Antonio the same night the Ring of Honor is there. What do you make of that? Do you think that was on purpose to go against Ring of Honor, or just think it was a coincidence because they were going to be in Dallas or in Houston the following night?
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it happened on purpose. But the Ring of Honor fans are very loyal, and the event's already sold out. So that's a testament in itself. Two of the biggest companies running the same day in the same town, and obviously they're going to run a bigger venue, but we're already sold out. So that says a lot for what we're doing and what the future holds for us.
And it's not going to be the same as, you know, we're not talking about something on the level of like WWE versus WCW. But obviously, when things like this happen, whatever scale, it does get people talking. You know, when you talk about these promotional wars, how do you feel about being a part of something like that, even, you know, on a smaller scale? Because fans do start talking about it a lot, and you know, the guys are going to play it up, and rightfully so, to get as much attention as possible.
I think it'd be amazing. Obviously, competition makes people better. So no matter what the competition is, I think everybody just strives to want to be the best, and people that don't are just going to fall down the chain. Like I said, any competition, like, obviously, well, I don't think it would be as big as WCW, WWF back in the day, but I think right now there's so much talent in the world, and even these crash shows down here in Mexico, any one of these matches could be a main event on most indie shows. Yeah. And we're doing 7 matches a card every night down here in Mexico. The talent here is absolutely astonishing.
I know on that night in San Antonio, you and everybody else are going to be focused on what you have to do that night in the ring, but any chance that maybe early in the afternoon you guys could do a drive-by by the NXT building?
You never know. I mean, the Bullet Club did do Invasion of Raw.
Yeah, that's where this all started.
So, I mean, and then they got a season assist and made probably thousands of dollars off of t-shirts from it. So because they made a profit, you never know what they're going to do. It's professional wrestling. Anything can happen.
I know. They got a cease and desist, and then Jimmy Jacobs got fired because he came out from outside the building and took a picture with the guys and posted it.
And now he's everywhere.
Right.
And they can do no wrong.
It's weird. It's just like, just when you think you can, you know, kind of put your finger on where wrestling is, you can't, because you never know what could happen, where it could happen, what's going down. It's just like, you have to keep your mind open to all the possibilities that are, you know, available, I guess, in this day and age. It's incredible.
Oh, 100%.
So last couple of things before we get out of here. So was it Cecil the Cardinal that you were the mascot for in college?
I was, yeah.
Do you what are your fondest memories of being Cecil the Cardinal?
One time I did a half court contest, and like I had a bunch of people shooting half courts. nobody made it. First try, I made it. That was really cool. The crowd went like crazy. There's another one I did, like another trick shot. And then actually when I got the new mascot costume my last year there, they let me do a whole halftime performance. I did a lot of trampoline jumps and all kinds of stuff. And it was one of those cool things where they actually went out of their way to make sure that I was happy. And the final year that I was the mascot, I didn't even attend the college. They just loved the work I did as a mascot that they wanted me to do it for one more year.
How close did you come to continuing your career as a mascot, like in the NBA or someplace?
Oh, I was really close. I was actually talking to some people about trying out for a couple NBA teams. And I almost went NBA mascot route. But I just knew that it wasn't what I wanted to do long term. I knew professional wrestling is what I wanted to do, number one. And I knew that mascotting could always be there as a backup plan.
Can you reveal what teams that you're actually in talks with when it comes to the NBA?
I'd prefer not to.
Okay. I was just thinking that
it wasn't only because it wasn't my favorite team.
Oh, so maybe the Phoenix Suns,
the Boston Celtics.
Oh, okay. I was going to say maybe the Gorilla when it comes to the Phoenix Suns or, I don't know if you're going to be stuffing
them. The main one I was in talks with was Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Oh, they got a good mascot.
And Salt Lake City. I was talking to them a little bit as well.
Gotcha.
But it was just something I never pulled the trigger on because I knew this is what I wanted to do.
Right. So before we get out of here, so you are an active duty member with the National Guard. Now, how does somebody become a specialist when it comes to explosives?
It's just one of the jobs. When I initially enlisted back in 2012, I did horizontal construction engineer, where I just learned how to operate big tractors and other machinery. And then when I moved from Idaho, where I was going to college, to Massachusetts, I got the chance to choose which unit I wanted to go to. And I heard about a unit back in Idaho that I really wanted to do. I found one over in Massachusetts, and because it was a different job, I had the opportunity to go and learn that job. And that's where they taught me how to use C4, TNT, and other types of explosives for blowing up bridges, blowing holes, blowing windows, doors out, making our own doors, for breaching, for route clearance, all kinds of stuff. And it was just a really cool learning experience.
I was going to say, what have you got to blow up so far?
I've blown up doors, windows, walls, roads. We blew up like a mini like shed type house.
Okay. So the Unabomber shed. Cool. Okay. Have you?
Yeah, it was really cool. C4 is like, it's like Play-Doh.
Right.
You can like mold it, but it's very like careful because you don't want to like drop it or anything because you never know what can happen.
I like that you're just so casual about it. Like, yeah, you know, it's C4, man. It's so cool. I'm like, this is some of the most dangerous stuff that's out there.
Yeah. And like C4, you want to wear gloves because you don't want to get it. Like, you don't want to get it out of your hands and then, like, put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Then you just get really, really sick.
Because of the training you have in explosives, does that also mean that, are you somebody that will help be a part of, like, the bomb squad to take apart bombs as well or not?
No. We just know how to, like, build certain, explosive devices for different jobs.
So you're on the cool end of that, where you could...
We don't know how to defuse bombs. We know how to make them go off. Like, if there's a minefield, we know how to go through the minefield and, like, discharge all of them before we go through and step on one.
I think you got the good end of the stick there when it comes to explosives. You get to blow stuff up, and somebody else gets to be the crazy person that goes in there to try to stop something from blowing up or going off.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the crazy people, man. The people that sign up for that to be a part of the bomb squad, God bless them, man. But that's nuts. That's flat out nuts.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it. That's too much pressure for me.
No, yeah, that's way too much pressure. It's one thing for you to make sure that you hit the spot when you're doing your 450 or you're doing whatever. It's another one. Somebody's in there going, I got to make sure these two wires don't touch or else we're all going to blow up.
Yeah. Do I cut the red one or the blue one first? let's go with the red. I think it's red.
As we wrap up here, I want to ask.
Red.
So when it comes to, like, everybody talks about, and you are so good at, obviously, the high-flying style and doing all the different flips and everything. Do you think you can do, there could be too many flips in a match? And if so, how?
I do think there can be too many flips in a match. But you can also do a lot of flips in a match without making sense. I do a lot of flips without even knowing I'm doing flips because I feel like I place them in different places. I use flips more as of like evasion, getting away, less than I do moves, or more than I do moves.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is just the way that you get into a flip, I guess. It's just being able to jump from the mat to the ropes or to the corner and then to do a flip, or just kind of finding different innovative ways to do it.
You shouldn't have to force them. If they flow, then they flow. If not, then they're not needed.
Right. Do you have a hard time watching another match with a lot of flips and it's somebody just, or people that are going out of control?
Kind of, sort of. But I, like, obviously you're going to learn from everybody, and maybe what they're doing could be right or it could be wrong. Everybody's opinion on wrestling is different. But you always just got to take everything with, like, a grain of salt. Even when you get feedback, it's kind of like, okay, well, everybody likes different ice cream. That's their flavor. You got to find your own style. Eventually, they'll learn that if they are doing too much, eventually enough people are going to tell them, hey, you're doing too much. I'm only 2.5 years in the business. I don't feel like I have any place to be like, hey, you're doing too much. Especially when I go out there and call myself Flip Gordon. You know, so I feel like I haven't earned that right to tell anybody, hey, you're doing too much, or hey, you shouldn't do that this way. You should do it that way.
Well, you're killing it right now, man. Congratulations on the early success. And keep having fun everywhere that you travel. You're in Mexico right now. You've been going all over the world. And obviously, you've got the Ring of Honor shows coming up here in Florida. And then the Survival of the Fittest shows in Texas and Oklahoma City. So keep up the great work. And thanks for the time, man.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. And look forward to this weekend in Florida.
Thanks again to Colt Cabana and to Flip Gordon for the conversations. Follow them both on Twitter. For Colt, it's at Colt Cabana. For Flip Gordon, it's at the Flip Gordon. So a couple of great guys there, and a busy couple of weeks coming up here for Ring of Honor with some exciting shows, I think. And also, make sure you go out of your way. Check out Colt's children's book that he's got coming out. It's actually really good. The artwork is spectacular. And if you've got a kid in your life, I guarantee they're going to enjoy the book. It's due to be released here in the next couple of days, where it'll actually be sent out, but you can pre-order it right now. Go to coltmerch.com. And like Colt said, you know, if you get it through his website, and you can get it, you know, at amazon.com, you can get it at Barnes & Noble's, you can get it at all these different places. But if you get it through his website, he'll actually do a video, a personalized video, and send it to you for whatever kid that's in your life that's a big wrestling fan that's going to be getting this book. So it's just a nice little bonus there from Colt. So go check that out. Go to coltmerch.com. You can get the book, plus a great thing that he's doing along with Ian Riccoboni from Ring of Honor, and helping raise money to help the people in Puerto Rico who desperately need that help right now. So thanks again to those guys for the conversation. Appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. Quick reminder, rate and review the Between the Ropes podcast, and make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, especially on iTunes, Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We're on the TuneIn app, all the different places where you can get podcasts. So please rate and review us, and also subscribe. So when I do put out an extra podcast, you'll automatically get it, because you never know when that's going to happen. So I guess I just like to surprise people. But thanks again for listening to the podcast. Appreciate it, everybody. And I'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.